Good morning, everybody. I just checked that I have about 50 minutes. That's going to be good, isn't it? I might let you off a bit early. Very early. Let's go. Are you hungry? Should we go for McDonald's? All together? Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Praise God. A lot of my family is here and has been here over the week. Most of you know my dad had had a tear in his main artery to the heart last Thursday back. And he's been in the hospital, being quite critical. He's come through an open heart surgery, and it's been quite some time. And all my brothers and sisters were all together this week. Katla just went back yesterday, my sister who lives in Tallinn. And I just want to send out my love to my family this morning. I absolutely love my family. I just realized this week. I just think I love Kata and Jonathan. And I love Paul and Maria. And I love Chris and Kina. I love Hannah and Risto and Samuel. I love my mom and my dad. I just love them, you know. Praise God, eh? And it's definitely to do something with my dad being a bit ill. That this has touched my heart. Because I know that my father would want us to love each other. And knowing my dad, Allery, he would probably want me to love Jesus. All his life has been about Jesus, if you know my dad. I mean, he's had one job in his life, I think. Maybe a few. He's been the only evangelist in Estonia, actually, to be on a wage. And the first one back in those days. But a secular job that he had was once in a computer shop, my dad. Because all his life he's been a pastor and a minister and a seeker of God. But he was working in this computer shop. And on Sundays, he closed the shop. I mean, imagine working in Maplin, right? It's a chain business. And you're the guy selling the stuff and you close the shop. That's what my dad did. Because he was going to go to church to preach. So he put a letter on the store that he didn't even own. Is that hilarious? He wasn't quite built to work this way. He was built to work for God, you see. All his life has been about the cross, about Jesus. And he's carried the revelation of Jesus. He's been a little revivalist ahead of his time. When I was young, I was filled with the Holy Spirit through my father's singing. And I don't mean just filled, I was deeply filled. A seed was planted in my life that's lasted and will last all my life. So there he is in the hospital bed now. He's had a good chance of dying, but he hasn't died. Praise God. God's with him. And I think about Jesus. You know, we never saw Jesus' suffering and his death, but he was a human being. He was real. And what did he want from his children? To love one another. If you read the Gospel of John, he kept saying, love one another, my brothers and sisters. Love each other. On the last night, he washed his disciples' feet and saying, if I've done this to you now, love one another. And love God. Love God. And then his disciples saw him suffering. On one of these days when I went to see my dad, I only saw him awake yesterday the first time. He's quite drowsy, in and out. There was a moment when he gave me a smile. The first time I went in, he didn't smile much. He just couldn't. I don't know if you understand what's going on, but he kept pulling his thumb up like that when we said something. We said, oh, Miriam and Martha are praying for you. He went like that, but he didn't smile. He must have been very uncomfortable. And I went out, and I was a bit, because the nurses were doing the stuff, and I was thinking, it's pretty hard. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I went back, me and Terry, after she's been made more comfortable a bit, and he was sleeping then. We started to sing to him, you know, I need you more, you know, that song. And I was just singing that song, and I just know my dad loves singing. And at one point, he just kind of woke up a bit. And then he focused on his eyes on my face, and he smiled. It was so comforting. 2 second smile. And then he was out again, away. And I mean, he hasn't got anything more to give. His body is literally dying. His lungs are failing. His kidneys are failing. So they keep him on machines and try to make him work on his own as much as he can, but then put him back on machines, and he's on the verge of keeping his body going. He's had a stroke, possibly. I mean, he couldn't give anymore. And he gave me a smile. And I think about Jesus and the cross. Isn't he awesome? How he comforts others. God, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Bless these people, Lord. Ah, bless him, Lord. Oh, forgive him, Lord. His mother. Mother, look, there's your son. Son, look, there's your mother. He's comforting others, and he hasn't got anything more to give. So I'm touched, and I do believe these things happen to glorify God. Many times Jesus saw sickness and something horrendous, and people said, oh, is this because he sinned or his parents sinned? Jesus said, oh, no, this happened to glorify God. What, this horrible thing? Yes, this happened to glorify God. You know, when a righteous man suffers, it's always for God. What my dad is going through is from God, through God, and God will glorify his name through it. You know, he works in ways that we cannot comprehend. He uses every suffering we go through in this life for his glory. Not a drop, a tear is lost. You know, and Jesus ultimately went through the ultimate suffering. Praise God. I want to read to you something that Jesus said from Mark 12. Here is Jesus' incredible wisdom and insight into human's heart shown again. And it's about paying taxes. Mark 12, 13. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin, and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture, title, are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. His reply completely amazed them. But the Pharisees had just been very put off by Jesus in the earlier story. He talked about the vineyard and the evil farmers who denied the crop to the master. And then he sends his servants and his servants to collect this money. And the farmers kill the servants or beat them up and send them back. And finally, God sent his only son. And then God thinks, oh, surely they will treat my son right. But then the farmers think, he's the guy who'll get the inheritance. Let's kill him and it will be ours. And the Pharisees realize that they're speaking this story about him. So they're really knocked. So they come together and they try to trap Jesus. So they come up with this. Right, let's get Jesus down now. And they come up with this tax question. See, if he says, yes, you have to pay taxes, obviously, the Israelites who've been oppressed by the Romans and this injustice would hate him and turn away from him. You can easily see this guy. And when he says, don't pay taxes, stand away from this injustice, he would be rebel against the Romans and the Romans would take him down. And it's funny how they just set it up. Jesus, you are wise and full of wisdom. Here's an easy question for you. Da-da-da. But what is Jesus like, eh? There's just no one like him. He sees through everything. Always, like, human heart for him is just makes him chuckle. He just sees through the hypocrisy. He always saw through the Pharisees. He always saw through them. You know, and Jesus says, bring me a coin whose image is printed on it. No, Caesar's. Give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And then what do you say? Now, that really shocks them. But give back to God what belongs to God. And the Israelites will have remembered in the beginning, in the creation, God said, let them be made in our image. Let human be made in our image. So whose image is printed on this money, this piece of coin? Caesar's. It's from the world. It belongs to the world. Give it back. But whose image is printed on you, on your face, on your body? God's image. Now give back to God what belongs to God. First of all, he challenged them about their wealth and about the money and their earthly ties to this world and their position and pride that the Pharisees had. Everything that they did religiously was about themselves. And they loved money. It said often that they were so offended of Jesus because they loved their money. And they boasted about their giving a lot, didn't they? Because they only gave a percentage. See, when you only give a percentage, it's easy to boast. But people who give everything never boast. And the Pharisees were so full of, first of all, the worldliness and the worldly goods. So Jesus challenges them back in an awesome way. So give away your stuff to this world. Be free. And then give yourselves back to God. Give your corrupt hearts back to God. Because it belongs to him. And he's going to come back and claim it for him. Is that awesome? And that really challenges me. See, I'm printed in the image of God. I'm made by God. And I belong to him. And I can give myself back to him. You know, Jesus is often said as the friend of sinners. And it's true. Jesus didn't despise sinners. But often people take the wrong side of this phrase as well. Jesus never was against the Pharisees and loved all the sinners. No, he loved people who understood that they need God. See, I've got some people come up to me that, you know, the church keep judging me and telling me that I live a wrong life and because I'm a lesbian and or because I sleep with my boyfriend. The church has got like this judgment against me. I was still judged in this church. But I got my own thing going on with Jesus. You know, I got my own thing going on with Jesus. He's a friend of sinners. And I think, hang on. Hang on just a minute. Yeah, the sinners came to him, right? Yes, they did. Because they weren't condemned. That's true. They experienced God's love and forgiveness of sins. Did he ever say, though, that keep sinning? This girl told me once, yeah, you know, the church keeps stoning me with stones. And just like that woman before Jesus, you know, I've got my own thing with him. What did Jesus say to that woman in the end? Has anyone condemned you? Neither will I. Go and stop sinning. Now, there's another story. There's a man at the pool who's crippled, paralyzed, and can't get to the pool where apparently you get healed if you touch the water after the angel has stirred it. And Jesus sees that man and tells him, what's the matter? Do you want to get healed? And he's got an excuse to go and get to the pool. And every time somebody else gets there, and Jesus heals him and walks off. The Pharisees are there. They see him carrying his mat. See how sharp the Pharisees are. They see a person carrying his mat. And already they're, hang on, you're breaking the law. That is quite condemning, isn't it? Who did this to you? Why are you carrying the mat? How are they always so on guard to find if someone is doing anything wrong with the law? But anyways, Jesus was gone. He didn't know who this man was. But later, Jesus finds him at the temple and says, you know, were you healed? Yes, I'm healed. Now stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. Something worse than what? All his life being paralyzed. My Jesus, meek and mild, he won't condemn you. But he came to save you from sin. And he was very clear that sin will destroy you because he loves you so much. Repent, what he said. The kingdom of God has come. And those repented, of course, he forgave and there was no condemnation. But have reverence for God. He's a real God and he's holy. And we need to come to him in repentance, in humility, in submission. It's not about us, it's about God. So, Jesus challenged to give up this world. It's been in my heart to give back to the world what belongs to the world and give back to God what belongs to God. It's in my heart this morning and has been lately about consecration, about giving ourselves to God. In this time, I think where we live now, it is so important. I just think about this age that we live in. And you know, there's some of these books that you can read about, like 1001 ways, different ways you could do something, like 1001 Sunday school games or ways to cook Greek salad, 1001 different ways. And I just think this age is called 1001 ways to waste your day, to waste your life. It's 1001 ways you can just totally waste your day. And people can just waste their lives. In the hospital, it said, there was this poster that said, on average, we watch 4 hours of TV a day. It only takes a moment to wash your hands. But 4 hours a day, on average. We're just experts these days of dealing with stuff that's insignificant. Let me quickly read to you something else from Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6. Don't team up, 6:14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Because we have these great promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Couldn't make it any more clear than that. Hallelujah. Let me get my notes out. You know, it seems like these days the great attack against the Western world. It's interesting if you think about how Chinese churches are attacked. I just happened to watch a feed on YouTube for some reason the other day about the Chinese churches and what they go through under communism, what their meetings are like, 12 hours a day. A minister went to preach to them and he was asked to preach 12 hours. What do you preach? Preach from Genesis to Revelation. And they realized it's because they don't have Bibles. And next day they got him back to preach for 12 hours. It's a different kind of world. There's a different kind of attack on the church. They're totally being wiped out by the communists and on total persecution, oppression. There's a whole different kind of church going on in the Middle East under Islam. There's a real threat to life. They get killed these days by their own family members. They're battered. Imagine the terror that they live in. But it prospers and Jesus is with them. It's a different kind of attack in Africa to the church. There's insane poverty and just hopelessness in people's lives. And here's the Western world. And it seems to me that the enemy's attack on the Western world church, his full power unleashed, his master scheme, should I keep building it up, is boredom. I'm bored. Prayed this morning. Now it happened. Isn't it funny in how people always zone out in their phones when something gets awkward, or they don't know how to speak to other people, or they're just on their phones? It's so funny, isn't it? I'm just bored. I'm just lazy. You can always watch another episode on Netflix. Always. I was just thinking about, you know, how awesome the body is that God's given us, especially like my body and... Some bodies are awesome anyways. No, I'm kidding. I mean, human body is absolutely awesome, isn't it? If you think about what it can do, there's no machine that can heal itself up like that. I mean, we're not made of metal. We're made of little robots that are actually their own living things, like cells. The material that we constructed of is already living little things. And if you go to biology, I mean, it all sounds supernatural, what happens in the cell. So when the cell multiplies, this guy comes and copies the DNA into RNA, and the enzymes come, and they translate all the information, start to bring these other pieces, and start to build a new cell. Like, who tells them to go where? How do they know where to go, these enzymes, whoever? It's awesome, this body, isn't it? You can watch, like, How Great Is a God by Louis Giglio, and you can see this awesome thing. The cells multiply, they heal themselves. The eyes, you know, when human is born, the eyes have 1 million septas going out from one way and like 1 million from the other way, and they all match up perfectly and find each other. That's like the nation of Estonia meeting another nation that's 1 million people, and let's go find our mates. And they do, and the eye connects up and gives you sight and works hard. And I think, who the heck put this lunatic in charge of this body? Poor body is like as a tyrant leading it. Oh, I'm starving, going to Macchiatis. The stomach cells are like, please stop it. What is this black stuff coming down on us? In the morning, the body is working hard all night to make sure you get rest and sleep. Oh, I can't get out of bed. Keep sleeping. Come in the morning, get some coke. We just don't. Poor body, eh? Keep watching Netflix. The eyes are like, stop it, I want to sleep. Poor body. Okay, maybe you think, oh, I'm really like disciplined. I take care of my body. I'm a runner. I keep, you know, working out. Poor muscle cells. What is this guy doing? Give us a break. I'm big enough, thanks. Do you know that your body desires to glorify God? Do you know that your eyes, your skin, your senses, your organs, they desire to glorify God. They belong to God. They were built by God. Your eyes want to see Jesus. Your body desires Jesus. I think what a wretched person I am. I am like an absolute sinner. And don't just say it. I think back to my childhood. I must have been the worst sinner. I mean, I did all these stupid things. I kept stealing money from my mom and always watching wrong things and playing computer games for days in a row. And I was thinking about, I was an absolute hooligan as well, smashing up things, buildings, got massively in trouble with the police. Oh yeah. What are we like? And I think about this wretched me. You know, we've just started this early morning prayer meetings again. And you wake up in the morning, the last thing you feel you want to do is go to a prayer meeting. Do you know what I mean? And this wretched body, but actually, you know, I think I'm just going to take this body to this prayer meeting. Because I don't trust myself. I don't trust what I feel. I'm going to take this body. They just can't do anything. They can't seek God. They can't give up Netflix or whatever little thing to little bit seek God. Just can't do it. I just take this body to this prayer meeting. Not that I'm going to go and do something, some powerful prayer and get the people praying about, and the church needs to get back to its roots. this body, just bring it to God. You know, Jesus can save you from this world. You heard it this day. He's overcome the world. Yeah, he's overcome all the suffering. He's also overcome all the comforts, the pleasures, all the temptations, all the deceit, the lies. He's overcome that as well for us. You know, when Job was tempted by Satan through suffering and what he had to give up and lost his family, his pride, we are tempted in another way, aren't we? So God, if they were to have all these nice gadgets and new things and nice houses and absolutely loads of Netflix series, there's 50 come out last year, Netflix series, 50. If they were to have all this, surely they wouldn't seek you. Surely they would forget you. Surely they would love their little things. If you give them awesome IKEA furniture that looks nice, it's actually made of chipboard, and it's absolute lie. But it looks nice. If you were to give all this, these little Howden's kitchens, I mean, I fit them, I think. People just believe it, don't they? I've got this new walnut worktop. It's plastic and chipboard inside. You know, if you get it water damaged, it swells in a day. It's so nice. It is nice. It is true. It is nice. But it's chipboard. Surely, God, if I give them all this at their fingertips, will they still seek you? Let's have a look. And God said to Job, Satan, in the book of Job, go on, go and test Job. Let's see. Do you think you're under a test? Yes, you are. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you're under a test. The Westerwelle Church isn't getting off with the attack. We're under attack. We need to realize that and what way it is, so we can pass the test. Jesus says in Revelations, those who overcome will sit with me. Here we go again. Jesus, meek and mild, wouldn't say anything condemning. Read Revelation. Read what it writes to the churches. Listen, you're like lukewarm water. You're neither hot or cold. And I just want to spit you out from my mouth. You think you're rich, but you're in rags. You think you got all these things, but you have nothing. You think you're full, but you're full of hunger. Come to me and buy gold from me. Buy ointment for your eyes so you could see. And then you will be rich. See, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice, I will open the door and come in and fellowship with him. Do you know that God is so available to you? In Isaiah, it says, somewhere in the 60s, I stand and I'm available. Where are my people? I have made myself available for my people, and I'm here. Where are you? God is so available for us. Don't we just love Jesus? He's so available for us. He is so in reach, we can grab out and reach him and have real joy in him. He absolutely loves us. But you know, Jesus, he doesn't play games, does he? When you come to him, trust me, he will see you through as well. Whether you're a Pharisee, come with your religiousness and pride and your position and your 10% giving, yeah. He will just see through you. And he will tell you. Or if you think you can justify your sin and come as you are and I'm messed up, but it doesn't matter because Jesus loves me. Don't you think he will see through you? This guy was pushing through the crowds to get to Jesus. And then what it says is, Jesus, tell my brother to share our dad's inheritance between us. And Jesus says, who has made me a judge between you two? So when people came to him to get something else but God, he just didn't get involved. But if you come to Jesus, you have the chance to be made right, to buy gold from him. If you come repentant and humbled, and submitted like Chris was preaching. Surrendered to him. Yes, you can get everything from him. You can get guidance, wisdom, how to stand your ground in this day, in this time. Because it's so important that we stand our ground. In Ezekiel, God cries out. Ezekiel. God cries out, who's going to stand in the gaps of my walls? There's no one to be found. Who will stand at the gap? these days, there's a lot of gaps in Christianity, in the faith of Jesus. There's a lot of gaps. Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to consecrate themselves? Who's going to step aside from the world and stand in those gaps, surrendering themselves to Jesus? You know, we can think about, but there's nothing I can do for the Lord. The church is, you know, the leaders are doing everything. Just sat in the seats, there's nothing I can do, and it's like not given any position. What did Jesus tell us? If you really want to serve God and do something for Him in your heart, what did Jesus ask us to do? Go to your room, close the door, and pray secretly. And your Father in heaven hears you. Can anyone do this? Yes. I mean, the prayer meetings in the morning, they aren't full. And I hear around, there's nothing to do in this church. Well, actually, what do you want to do? Something for yourself? Or do you want to do something that matters for God? Give yourself if what matters to Him. There's no power in your life ever unless it's consecrated to Jesus fully. In your ministry, there won't be no power unless it's consecrated to Jesus. It's given to Him. There's always something you can do. Jesus said, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's funny how big corporations boast about the givings.
We give 10% to charities and to feed the hungry over there. And we recycle this cup 5 times even before we use it. And we give this and we give that.
Just boasting as they actually care. Jesus said, do your giving secretly. Do you want to do the real thing? You can always do something for God. Bible says, submit to your leaders. Now, do you want to do it for God? Because if you do that, you do it for God, because God asked it. You can always do what God asks you to do in your situation. And trust me, through that, God's hand is on your life, and He will lift you up. It says in Psalms, no one from the east or west can exalt a man, for it is God who judges. He lifts one up, and He brings one down. But you know, we can build our consecration on the foundation of grace. Obviously, it's through grace that we can do anything. The truth is, we just can't seek God. We just can't do it. We just can't give things up. Have you tried to give up this TV series that you just can't give up? Has anyone been there? I'm the only one, praise God. But, and you just can't give it up, flipping heck. You just go back to it. You give it up for a bit. It's like our little girl, Martha. She's 3. She's the middle one. And she wants to be a big girl now. She says, I want to go in the big girl group in the nursery with my big sister. She's been desperate to look forward to that. And I want to be a big girl now. And on the morning, he comes and picks his tummy up and comes into the kitchen on her own accord and bins it and says, I'm a big girl now. Guess what happens in the night?
I want my tummy back.
But it's in the bin, Martha. You threw it. I want my tummy back. I want my tummy back. I'm not kidding. Shall I go get it out of the bin?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll get it out from the bin. Next morning. I'm a big girl now. Boom. I'm not kidding. Next night, I want my dummy back. Now we just told her, Martha, just have your dummy. Just have it till you're ready to give it up. But you know, Jesus is the same with us. You know, you don't have to give things up to go to heaven. You can have things. I don't mean like sin, but nice things. And I do want to give things up, and I want to be closer to God and have, but I don't have to really. And there was a time in my life when I really tried to do it and I couldn't do it. I wanted to be more consecrated, but I couldn't do it. So I thought, sack it. I'm going to enjoy grace. I just thought, I was thinking about cancelling some things, you know, Netflix or now TV or something, and stopping myself. Because I'm the same, I get things out of the bin. And I thought, I'm just going to leave it all out there, you know. But I'm going to be with Jesus and love Him. And they're just going to enjoy grace because they couldn't do it, you see. And I just pray, God, help me to give up what I need to give up. Jesus, save me from my wretched self. And, you know, try to put some boundaries on things I do. Because the trouble is for me, these things just usually cause me to sin. I don't say it because I want to be super holy. I just want to stop sinning. And these comforts, they just end up, it just ends up there where I am watching Netflix 8 episodes in a row. Has anyone done this? No. And it's obviously an addiction and sin to do this. And then it leads to obvious lust and obvious, I have to do this because I brought this. So this is what happens with things that we really love. This is my awesome, nice pot, you know, that I bought. This is lovely, and it's expensive, and I love it. It's beautiful. Do you know what? I really love this pot. So, do you want to come up, Andy, for a second? Yeah, do you want to come up? Yeah. So Andy represents the devil. Do you see these massive handles sticking out from my head? Just grab a hold of it. See, I really love this pot. So just want to try and move it around a bit. Flipping heck. I really love this pot. Okay, that's good. So, I really love this car. Flipping heck. Who scratched my car? You can pull it now. Flipping heck. Who scratched my flipping... Oh, that's good. Yep. So, see the things that we hold on to? They have a massive handle on them. Do you see that? Who's had this when you buy something really awesome and really nice and it gets scratched? It's just so true, isn't it? Oh, my lovely new kitchen. The handle's off. And then you're angry. It's like we call it with Andy, called it God's signature. It just kind of reminds you. I bought these awesome new sofas from Harvey's. Spent quite a bit for them. And when they got delivered, they didn't fit in the house. And there was loads of trouble. I thought, God, don't you want to bless me? But, you know, God's like, just giving you a little nip. Just remember, they're just things. And by the way, I never asked you to get settled anyways. You might be moving from that house in a minute. Your kid's going to be climbing all over those settees, and you'll be stressed all the time. Because look, my nice new sofa. Flipping heck, Miriam, get off this sofa. Get, who got milk on the sofa? There's a massive handle on it. That's why we ought to give some things up. Because we're at peace. And in many ways, the devil gets a hold of us through the things that we hold on to. And then we're so attacked. So attacked by other people. We think we're always, everyone's attacking us. Everyone's against us. The devil gets to you because you have a handle on your head sticking out. It's just a pot. How did this got to do with the foundation of grace? I don't know. But you know, God's grace is given to us so that we could be made holy. Grace isn't so that we could keep sinning. The Bible makes it so clear, and James says it directly. Some people go around teaching that because of God's grace, we can keep sinning. Well, these people are false teachers. No, God's grace is the power not to sin. Grace is the power to give things up. Grace is how we can be consecrated. You see, when God pours his love over you, you see, when I realized God is with me and still blesses me, even when I watch Netflix, doesn't matter, he still came and washed me clean from the stuff I watched. Some of it is good. I don't say, like, don't watch Netflix at all, whatever, but some of it is bad. And every time that Jesus cleansed me again and washed me again, and when I did actually lust, I just thought, well, Satan, doesn't matter. See, I'm washed in the blood. Jesus, I love you. I did repent. Whenever I've openly sinned, deliberately sinned, I've repented. I've called someone. I've spoken to someone about it. I've got prayer for it. I make sure to repent from it. But then, I don't give any ground to the enemy. Because I'm saved by grace. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, I used to count like days from my last sin. Have you ever done that? And I thought, who cares? See, who's free in Christ is free indeed. Now that the Son has set you free, you're truly free. Not if you haven't sinned for 10 days, you're free. No. In Christ, now, you are free because He has set you free. You might have sinned yesterday. You might have sinned this morning. You come to Christ, you are free. There's no handle over you whatsoever. When you repent, you take the handle off your head. There is now no condemnation in you. Grace is the power. And through grace, we can change. We can come closer to God when we put it to work. Paul does say, don't miss grace. Don't miss out on it. Don't get comfortable in it. Let God shift your heart. Let grace save you from this world. Because it has the power to do it. Shall we pray? So if you want to reach out to God this morning, you can stand at your feet together if you want to do it. We can reach out to Jesus this morning. We can reach out for help, for power. Jesus, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the day and time that you placed us in, Lord. We thank you that we are your church. We thank you for amazing grace, Lord. Thank you that we're just one little church, Lord, but we want to follow you, Lord. We want to make a difference in our time. We don't want to miss the battle, Lord, that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, personally to stand in the gaps where you need us to be, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to grow. Help us, Lord Jesus, to give up things that we don't need. Jesus, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make our lives count for you. Thank you, Jesus, that you made your life count. Count, and every bit of it, Lord, count for you, for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't waste your life. Thank you, Jesus, that you spent your life so perfectly, Lord, to buy our lives. Thank you that time is valuable because it's bought by the blood of Jesus. Every day we wake up is bought by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, our time is valuable to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are full of joy. Thank you, Jesus, that in you there's joy. You have the real gold of heaven. You have the real riches, Lord. You have ointment for our eyes so we could see. We come to you, Jesus, this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would strengthen our hearts through grace, Lord. And help us, Holy Spirit, to consecrate our lives to you so that you could use it for your glory. We thank you, Jesus, for all the people in the past who have given their lives to you, including you, Jesus, including the apostles, the early Christians, all the famous Christians that we know throughout history, Lord, who've spent their lives for you, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that we are alive now. They're all dead. You are in heaven. And we are here, Lord, on earth now. And time matters. Time matters to you, Lord. Help us spend our days for the real value that when we go to heaven, Lord, we've really spent something for you. Jesus, come and knock on our hearts this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help. Help us persevere, Lord, just like the churches are in other parts of the world. Help us do our bits in our way, Lord, that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Amen.